أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي لا يبلغ مدحته القاعلون ولا يحصي نعماءه العادون ولا يؤدي حقه المجتهدون الذي لا يدركه بعد الحمم ولا يناله غوص الفطن ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد.
صل على محمد
وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين صاحب العصر والزمان خليفة الرحمن إمام الإنس والجان ولعن الله وأعداهم أجمعين إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله وقوله الحق. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلاة على محمد وعلى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are thankful to Him for the tawfiq of this month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where we are His guests and He is our host. I will be with you for the next 4 nights, inshallah, and I think it's been a long time since I've addressed my beloved Muslimin community in the month of Ramadan. So to be here in these beautiful, blessed nights is an honor for me. 4 nights is tough for a speaker. Usually we don't have a topic. And this year you have close to 31 different speakers coming in through the center, mashallah. And so it's tough to get any topic going. But inshallah, we will make some sense in the next 4 nights as to what I wanted to address. I thought long and hard. In 4 nights, what do I want to accomplish? Inshallah, you're with me. The month of Ramadan is unique for a variety of reasons. And I'm sure Sheikh Jaffer in the past 2 nights has talked about the philosophy of the month of Ramadan, welcoming it, and what its huquq and rights are. I wanted to look at it through a little bit of a different lens and start off by saying that the act of worship of fasting itself is quite unique compared to the other acts of worship in the furu of the deen. The majority of the acts of worship in the furu of the deen have an outer form to them, a physical form to them. For example, when someone's praying salat, you can see miles and miles away that that person is praying salat. If there was somebody in the gym right now praying namaz in front of me, I could see them from this distance all the way to the gym that they are praying namaz. Hajj has a very outer form to it. There's tawaf, there's sa'i, there's taqsir, there's all these things that have an outer form. You could tell in the individual is performing hajj. But fasting isn't like that. Fasting in itself does not have an outer form to it. Nobody walks in with a sign on their forehead or a t-shirt made, "I am fasting." You assume in the month of Ramadan that people are fasting, but there is no outer change in their appearance or in their physical makeup. Which means that it is completely a batini act of worship. And maybe that's why in the verse that I read for you in the khutbah, very famously, Allah now says that, look, I have made fasting wajib upon you, just like those before you. The purpose is لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so you could be amongst those who are pious. It's interesting that even for salat, He does not say that the result of salat is piety. Yes, of course, that's there. But there are other effects of salat that I'll get to in a moment. But for fasting, He's very specific, Allah, to say that it is an internal movement towards me. Why? Because it is that act of worship that has the least amount of riyah in terms of possibility. Unless, of course, you know, you have individuals who making a habit of theirs outside the month of Ramadan to somehow fit in the conversation that I'm fasting. And it really takes a lot of effort for people to do that. Unless, of course, you know, and of course the ulama of the Hawza tell us that even if you are, you have a mustahab fast, do your level best not to announce that you are fasting. You know, someone offers you water, say, right now I'm not thirsty, blah, blah, blah. If it really gets to a point where it's borderline like rude, then of course you mention that, of course you are fasting. But fasting in itself is a very internal, intrinsic, esoteric act of worship. Which means that it should result in something. And that's where I want to get to tonight and kind of segue into my next four nights. We've taken worship to be the final destination of ours. And I'll be very general tonight, I know, and then I'll get into specifics a little bit from tomorrow. What I'm seeing right now in terms of our homes, our marriages, our communities, our youth, COVID now has come and it's leaving slowly but surely, but it's taking a long time to leave. But we've seen a little bit of two extremes, at least I have, in my talk with people, not only in Toronto, but across, of course, North America, is the fact that our marriages are not getting stronger. Our youth and their parents, the gap is not bridging fast enough. The communities sometimes are a little bit stagnant. They're not moving a little bit towards where they should be. And the problem are many. The problems are many, but one of them that is there is our akhlaq and our behavior. It's a cliche discussion. It's an age-old discussion. It continues to be the number one fundamental problem inside of ourselves, our marriages, our families, and now in our centers, and the ummah at large. And the sad reality is that the effect of worship for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should have produced us to be humble, sincere human beings. And somewhere along the road, there's a gap. There's a little bit of a disconnect between us fulfilling an obligation of Allah's, being worship, and that worship converting to humanity. It's not happening. And I want to address that across these next four nights. The Quran talks about the manazil of akhlaq, the various levels of akhlaq. Inshallah, we'll talk about those levels in the coming nights. But as a muqaddama tonight, as a preliminary tonight to kind of set the tone, let's realize, you know, what is it that we are trying to strive for? I'll give you a simple example. The Quran says, "Inna salata an fahsha'i wal munkar." Tanha an al-fahsha'i wal munkar. Surely salat, and this is a very famous verse. Let's ponder a little bit. Surely that salat is meant for indecency to be removed from you. Evil to be removed from you. Meaning if you are somebody who is regular with your salat, you can't be indecent with your tongue. If you are somebody who is regular with salat, there shouldn't be acts and thoughts of evil inside of you. The reality is that sometimes the individuals who have the deepest nishani of sujood in their forehead are the ones that are the most indecent. Sometimes the ones who are adamant about not missing one fajr and quite proud of it are a fir'aun inside their homes with their wives and children. So there's a disconnect where the salat should equate into this idea of being a decent human being. It's not. Which means that we've stopped at the worship and we haven't gone up to the worshipped. And that's the problem. And I want to revisit these foundational discussions of akhlaq in the next four nights. Inshallah, in my six nights at JCC after this, I'll continue this talk because it really is a lengthy discussion. But yeah, we'll talk about things like the ego, hypocrisy, the lack of forgiveness. And we'll all use different examples from the Quran as well. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. And so as we are now entering the month of Ramadan, we're 3 days in now, and we'll start to, in a matter of a couple of days now, we'll start to get into a routine. Our body will adjust to the sleep. Our body will adjust to the lack of food and water. I always say this, that we have to begin now when the body has adjusted to move on to the various organs inside of ourselves, our tongue, our eyes, our ears, Everything now begins to fast along with the body. Once the body adjusts itself, let's move on to a higher level. Let's give you a couple of examples. I just want to kind of set the tone here tonight, inshallah. Look at Allah's sunnah. And sometimes I wish we can adopt Allah's sunnah. The Prophet has his sunnah and seerah. The Aima have their sunnah and seerah, no doubt. We talk about the idea of what they did with their enemies, what they did with their ashab and their loved ones. What is Allah's sunnah? And is that something that we can, you and I, as a creation of Allah, as a beloved of Allah, as reflections of Allah, something you and I can possibly now mirror and adopt? Nabi Musa now has left Egypt, spent 10 years with Nabi Shu'aib, marries his daughter, on his way back to Egypt. On his way back into Egypt, becomes a prophet of God, becomes Kalimullah. And as he enters Egypt now, his purpose now has changed. And Allah now, of course, tells him, اِذْحَبَا إِلَى فِرْعَوْنَ إِنَّهُ طَغَى. Go towards Fir'aun. Both of you, اِذْحَبَا, both of you, you and meaning your brother Harun, go towards Fir'aun. He surely now has exceeded his limits. Okay? طَغَى, one possible meaning is the idea that he's overextended himself. Now keep in mind, Fir'aun was who? Very quickly. Fir'aun was somebody who believed in Allah. Absolutely. But limited Allah to be a Khaliq. Believed Allah to be the God of gods. And him being one of those gods. He stripped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of his rububiyah. And many of you know at Masumin, Allah's rububiyah is very near and dear to him. He takes pride when we say, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabb. This Rabb, I wish I had more time. What does Rabb mean? It's a complete jami' discussion inside of our books. That what does it mean when we say, Oh my Lord, Oh my Lord, Oh my Lord? It's not a comprehensive translation, Lord. There's so many things intertwined in it. One of them is the love Allah has for us. So now to take that away from Allah and simply say, look, you've created us. Now on the ground in terms of risk and punishment and all these things, that's in my hands, Fir'aun says. That's why when Nabi Musa came, introduced Allah as a Rabb of his. Not as a God of his. To tell Fir'aun that, Fir'aun, look, the Lord that you've placed up there is the same Lord that is down here as well. So now Allah says he has erred now, Fir'aun. He's gone a little bit away. Can we move a little bit forward, if you don't mind, with one loud salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, please? Thank you very much. Nice and tight, nice and tight. Look, the bus just rolled in, so mashallah, there's lots of people who just rolled in. Let's first start a nice loud salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, please. These two verses from Surah At-Taha 43 and 44, they're one of my favorite verses. I talk about these verses a lot. And they speak volumes to me every single time I examine them and look at them. And just this morning I was looking at these two verses. So now Allah says to Nabi Musa, take your brother, both of you go towards Fir'aun. He's overextended himself. But when you speak to him, فَقُولُ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكُّرُ أَوْ يَخْشَى. Very important. Very, very important. The seerah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not the prophets, not the imams, not any makhluk. The Khaliq himself has his own seerah. He's telling Nabi Musa now, when you go to Fir'aun, an individual who is a staunch enemy of God's, who has reduced Allah to a simple creator now, who's walked around Egypt claiming to be a god himself. That's a direct act of confrontation with God himself. He's telling Nabi Musa, now when you go to him, speak to him with a soft tone. قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا لَعَلَّهُ, it's very important. Maybe, just maybe, perhaps with your soft tone, there might be dhikr and khushu in the heart of Fir'aun. He might remember me, or he might be humbled by me, or he might even turn towards me. And we know in the story of Fir'aun, there were moments where it felt like he was very close to accepting Allah the way his heart wants to accept it. But of course, for various reasons, he pulled away. Meaning Allah is telling Nabi Musa, even with my staunchest enemies, don't lose grip of your akhlaq. Can you imagine now what advice he has for those who are his believers and his lovers and his servants? Very famously to the Holy Prophet, right? He says, you know, you have to make sure that when you approach these individuals, when you are introducing the deen to them, that you cannot be somebody who is hard-hearted. You can't have غَلِيدَ الْقَبْلِ لَنْفَضُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. They will leave you if you do that. You have to be soft-hearted. You have to be a little bit now patient with them. فَعْفُ عَنْهُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ. You know, forgive them and then seek forgiveness for them as well. These are for the believers. Meaning for a staunch enemy now, Allah said to Nabi Musa, when you speak to him, have a soft tone. I don't know what happens to us. For everybody outside our home, we have the best akhlaq for those outside of our home. And the worst of our zaban and our tongue is for those inside of our home. Somebody wrongs us at work and we are ready to forgive. We're understanding, we're tolerant, it's okay, don't worry. All shuja'at jo hai yahan milti hai for some reason in the masjid. This courage and bravery happens in these four walls, in our organizations, in our houses, in our families, with people that you have a little bit of authority over. For you now to have this level, for me now to have this level of harshness, where now this worship is not equating into us being a human being, is a problem. You know, I'll tell you, the other historical point that I want to mention here, we have to stop and ponder on these things. Move away from the food and drink of Ramadan. Make it a revolutionary month. The Khawarij movement is a very important movement in history. Very, very important movement. Tons and tons of examples for us today now to ponder on. These were not individuals from day number one who were away from the path. Read up on their history, find out where the point of deviation was. The individual now who struck Amir al-Mu'mineen with that sword, in a matter of a few weeks now we'll have his shahadat, right? And you'll hear the Masaib of the morning of the 19th of Ramadan. Ibn Muljim was not from day number one somebody who was off the path. He was there in Ghadir, gave bay'at to Amir al-Mu'mineen. But he was a Khariji. The scary part is, if you read the descriptions of how the Khawarij looked like physically, if they walked in through that door right now, we'd be impressed by them. Imam Ali is telling Ibn Abbas, go and talk to them and possibly negotiate that we don't go to war in Nahrawan. Whenever, wherever Amir al-Mu'mineen could avoid war, he would avoid war. Even on the battlefield, he would have a conversation. When they were adamant about fighting him, then he would fight. So here he was trying to avoid war at all costs against whoever it was. Nahrawan was against the Khawarij. He's trying now to avoid war. Sends Ibn Abbas to go talk to them. And then he guides Ibn Abbas very carefully. He says, look, don't talk to them or debate with them on the Quran. They will defeat you. Don't be fooled by the length of their beards or the dryness of their lips or the scars on their forehead or the fact that their stomachs hit their back ribs because they fast and fast and fast or their knees are scraped because they're constantly in sujood of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who are these people on the verge of going to war with Amir al-Mu'mineen? If they walked in today, we'd be blown away by them, impressed by them. Our mi'yar of a believer are these physical attributes. The criteria of a believer are these physical attributes. Our own criteria, me, myself up here, my criteria is, I'm fasting, I'm paying my khums, I've done my hajj, I try not to miss my salat, I'm good. And that's the problem. Salat is very important. But the amount of questions I get about the fiqhi aspect of Islam is too many. The example I give my young guys all the time is that you've written a 12-page paper and you spent months and months doing research. And your only focus is to find out where I should put the page number. Bottom left, bottom center, top right, top left. Make sure my spacing is right. What font do I use? Is it Garamond, Times New Roman? Do I be bold and use Comic Sans, God forbid, and get an F? What do I do? Everything, all your effort, you're sweating, up night, talking about the title page, talking about this and that, and nothing to do with the content of the actual paper. Everything is how we are presenting it to the prof. And that's important. If he wants, double space and you give him triple space, he'll deduct marks. No doubt about it. I'm not saying the sahat of the amal is not important. It is. But we've stopped at the sahat. I'm sorry. We get impressed by the outer form. And we impress ourselves with the outer form. I'm sorry. When in reality, the Prophet says, the best of you are the best of you with the ones with your families, with your spouses, with your children. The amount of phone calls I get, my phone blows up on a weekly basis. Every home, it seems, is on fire. Every parent now cannot connect with their children. It seems every center now has some internal domestic issue they're trying to face because the wrong people now are running our centers. And all this now with people who, mashallah, look the parts. There are sisters in our communities who, mashallah, wear their hijab perfectly. You'll never see them except in abaya. They'll wear socks everywhere they go. They'll make sure that there is sleeves everywhere they go. But if you want the whole community to know a certain news, good or bad, within a few days, they know who to tell. Two or three people. If you tell these two sisters, ooh, everybody will know. And you look at those two sisters, head to toe, they are muhajjaba, muhajjaba, muhajjaba. I'm sorry, these are bitter. I know, I'm not here to juggle balls up here. This is not the kalufat up here now. I can start from day number one with all of you. Our worship has to relate and has to translate into us being human beings. Now let's go a little bit deeper in the 10 minutes I have. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad, please. Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi in his Adab al-Salat, a profound book, in the opening discussions, talks about a concept known as izzati rububiyyah and dhillati ubudiyyah. That if we want to be counted amongst those who are traveling on the path towards Allah, okay? And that's the overall example and the metaphor he uses in this book. Beautifully, by the way. He refers to our journey towards Allah as a journey towards Allah, as a travel towards Allah. And you and I are the musafirin, or the salik, as he says, on this path towards Allah. And he says there are etiquettes when you do safar and when you journey and when you travel towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those etiquettes of journey in a physical journey, if you fly towards, I don't know, Karbala, and even if you metaphysically travel towards Allah, sometimes are very much identical. And one example I want to give, and I want to end by 8:02, in about 7 minutes, inshallah, is the idea that he says, if you want to be counted amongst a traveler, you have to leave home. Oh, follow the example. Follow the example. If I come, let's say, to Mansoor by his house, and he's there sitting, Salaam wa subhanak, ya ahal, everything okay, alhamdulillah, things are well, yes. Asabai mein bas, abhi bas jaro mein airport, you're going to the airport. I said, oh, okay, where are you going? Oh, I'm gone for a month to Pakistan. I go, mashallah, I look around, there's no suitcases, there's no passport, there's no boarding pass, and he's not dressed with clothes on for an airplane. I said, Masuba, are you sure today is your flight? بس أبي, I'm just leaving now. I'm waiting for my ride. There's no sign of him traveling. Or worse yet, let's go one step higher. He's holding on to his suitcase. He has his passport, but he hasn't left for the airport. And now he tells me that right now I'm actually traveling towards Pakistan. I'll say, look, with all due respect, Masood Bhai, Masood Bhai, no doubt you know more than I do, but if you want to be counted amongst the ones who's traveling towards Pakistan, you have to be on a flight, on a plane, on a separate vehicle towards the airport. You can't be home and traveling at the same time. You can't be. A musafir literally is one who leaves home. Keep that in mind. Imam Khomeini says, what is home to us? He says, home for the human being is the ego. Follow me. Home is the ego. Why? Because we're comfortable at home. We're rahat at home. We're by ourselves at home. Say what you want about any of us. Sometimes we like a little bit of taliyah and shabash and acclamation when it comes to us. We have ujb inside of us, every single one of us. It feels good sometimes to be appreciated. It feels good sometimes to be elevated. It feels good to be given a compliment. And if you like it enough, you search for it and you create it where there isn't there. And you take what should be fi sabilillah to be a path for yourself. So now that worship that should be for God is for me, and now I'm at home, but I think I'm traveling towards God. And I'm not. He goes one step further. Beautiful discussion, I tell you. Back in those days where we didn't have kilometers and miles and calculation, when they wanted to find out, okay, they wanted to find out if my salat is qasr or not, if I am a musafir or not, what do I do? How do I find out? What are the two main criteria for me not to be muqim inside of my city? Meaning my salat now is qasr. It's discounted, as you guys would say. It's cut in half. What are those two? I didn't have 22 kilometers. I didn't have this borderline, the borderline of Ajax or Milton or Lake Ontario. How can I find out? The ulama will say two areas, very carefully. Number one is that when you travel so far that you can't see the walls of your city anymore. Okay? Once you can't see the walls, the building, all that, they didn't have big skyscrapers back then. They had homes, buildings, masajid. Thank you. Once you have those walls, once you can't see those walls, you've gone far enough, number one. Number two, once you can't hear the adhan from the masjid. Once that adhan now is not something that's audible to you, you are far enough. Wherever you are and whenever you pray, if it's Zohar and Asr and Isha, you are to read 2 rakat salat. That's considered to be a musafir. He says we're no different. If we want to travel towards Allah and leave our home, our spiritual home, we have to first of all no longer see the walls of our own praise or hear the praise of ourselves from our ears. We have to be deaf to that. That's why they say ibadat of Allah is our nothingness in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we understand us to be nothing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then and only then are we considered to be a musafir towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, I can claim that yes, I am a salik, I'm on the path towards Allah, I'm mashallah, I'm traveling towards Allah, fana fillah, oh, I am drowning in Allah, mashallah, but the reality is, I'm at home. My suitcase is packed, my boarding pass might be even printed, but I'm not going anywhere. I haven't left home yet. Leaving home is not easy. Leaving our ego also is not easy. So if we want to now open this discussion up, and we will for the next 3 nights, we have to understand these are very difficult conversations. But we can't be individuals that continue this path, or at least I can't, where I worship and worship and worship, and I'm regressing as a human being. I'm becoming a worse husband, a worse father. I'm creating fitna and facade inside the community, and I'm sitting there saying, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la wa bihamdi. There's a disconnect, man. There is a problem. And a lot of us, we work very hard. All of you work very hard to uphold the ahkam and the fiqh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No doubt about it. You don't miss a single salat, not one roza, one juz every single day, mashallah. Everything is great. For all that to not translate into you being a human being is a waste. And I want to look at the manazil of that, the levels of that from the Quran, in the next 3 nights, inshallah. We ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to accept our efforts, inshallah, as we enter this month. Accept our ibadat, forgive our sins, and elevate us to the point where our worship translates to our humanity, inshallah. We ask you, Allah, everything we do is for the coming of the Imam, to please make us worthy of the zuhur of Imam Zamana, inshallah. Those who are sick, those who have had COVID, those who need our du'as, we ask you, Allah, to give them shifa, inshallah. And of course, elevate and bless our marhumin as well. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.